is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
Hey, everybody. We are back. Thanks for hanging out with us at Davin's Den. We got two School of Fools stories appropriate for Black History Month from your white pals. That's what we're doing over here. A little School of Fools.
School of Fools.
All right, so this is from Utah. Parents who sought to opt their children from a Learning Black History Month curriculum at a charter school in northern Utah have withdrawn their request. Maria Montessori Academy North Ogden experienced a public backlash after announcing plans to make participation optional, Standard Examiner reported. We regret that after receiving requests, an opt-out form was sent out concerning activities planned during this month of celebration. A statement from Academy Director Mika Horikawa and the school's board of directors said, "We are grateful that families that initially had questions and concerns have willingly come to the table to resolve any differences at this time. No families are opting out of our planned activities, and we've removed this option." School officials said a few families requested the exemption from the instruction, but declined to say how many. Beth Sawyer, head of the Ogden chapter of the NAACP, said she contacted the school Saturday morning about the decision to make Black History Month curriculum optional. So from the Utah School Board of Education shows that only three of the academy's 322 students are black, while 70% are white. Hirokawa wrote on the school's Facebook page Friday that he reluctantly issued a letter explaining families are allowed to exercise their civil rights not to participate in Black History Month at the school. But then that was removed. Let's see. All right, so that's the gist of it. The poll was, I put out this as one of the poll questions, should it be allowable to opt out of Black History Month curriculum? 55.6% said yes. 44.4% said no. I don't know. No, I don't think so, especially if you only have three black kids. You probably should learn a little bit more black history. I don't know. I don't know why it was even raised in doubt. What is offensive about black history? It's not like, hey, we're gonna learn how to, I don't know, torture animals. I'd like to opt out of the torturing animals thing. Or you can, like, opt out sometimes in biology class. You can opt out of, like, the incisions of a fetal pig. What do they call that? Dissecting.
Dissection.
Well, the one thing I find interesting on this is that the wrote on there explaining families are allowed to exercise their civil rights not to participate in Black History Month at the school. What civil right would be broken?
I don't know.
Have that in there.
I don't see why
they even had to issue that.
Well, I think clearly what you have is you have some racist parents. That's what you have. Unless you're a white supremacist, I don't know what curriculum featuring black history during Black History Month would be offensive. It's history. It's very often American history. So I don't understand why this is offensive.
Can black students have their parents sign forms that they opt out of white history?
But it's not white history. It's history.
It's history. Well, and until normal curriculum incorporates the history of the accomplishments of black people and women Americans.
That's the next topic.
It's not just propaganda, wouldn't need a Black History Month.
Until that
happens, there's no opting out of reality. Sorry.
Yeah, so we all agree that it never should have been left up to the parents, right?
Oh, my God.
I don't think it should, and I don't think, and on the basis of exercising your civil rights, not to participate. I don't understand, and I'm surprised the story. Well, yeah, it only can go so far, but I don't understand. Based on what civil right was broken on that?
I don't know.
Right, I can't. Well, the right to educate me, you know, be educated on certain things, but it's on Black History Month, and it's also, there's nothing wrong here. And if my kid came home and said, well, they want us to, you have to sign off on learning, well, that'd be fine. Because you understand, but people understand better when they learn.
I'll tell you what.
I don't see the deal breaker here.
We all agree. I'll tell you what, though. I wish my parents would have opted out of algebra and chemistry. Those were not good for the GPA. All right, we all agree.
Yeah, I was bad at... I hated tech.
We all agree. I'm actually offended by this.
Go fuck itself.
X can go fuck itself. Yeah, I know. I don't want to solve for X. I don't care what X does. X can go solve itself.
Well, according to some parents in Utah, X is Black History Month. So you
are true. All right. It's kind of unbelievable.
All right. Let's move on. We don't have to spend a lot of time on that. We all agree that makes no sense. So now this goes to what Pip was talking about. She jumped ahead. It's like she knows the stories or something. So this is lawmakers in several state houses this year want to stop lesson plans that focus on the centrality of slavery to the American history as presented in the New York Times 1619 Project, previewing new battles in states over control of civics education. Republican lawmakers in Arkansas, Iowa, Mississippi, Missouri, and South Dakota filed bills last month that, if enacted, would cut funding to K-12 schools and colleges that provide lessons derived from the award-winning project. The South Dakota bill has since been withdrawn. Some historians say the bills are part of a larger effort by Republicans, including former President Donald Trump, to glorify a more white and patriarchal view of American history that downplays the ugly legacy of slavery and the contributions of black people, Native Americans, women, and others that led to the nation's founding. Hey, Pip knew that. Political battles have long been fought largely in education boards over how American students learn about everything from the Civil War to ethnic students and health. But proposed legislation that would penalize schools for teaching curriculums based on the 1619 Project signals a new era of policy debate over civics education that may increasingly play out in the state legislatures. The project, which was first published in the New York Times Magazine in 2019 and for which its creator, Nicole Hannah-Jones, won the Pulitzer Prize for commentary, marked the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first known enslaved Africans in the British colonies that became the United States. It includes audio, essays, poems, graphics, and visual art pieces that reframe the legacy of slavery in contemporary American life, arguing that black Americans are the foundation of U.S. democracy. The Pulitzer Center, in partnership with the 1619 Project, has made available related lesson planning and says more than 4,000 educators from all 50 states have reported using the resources. While some historians have criticized parts of the project, the Times has stood behind it, noting that further defending the project acknowledges that the newsroom separates opinion sections, published pieces against it, and other historians have praised the project's approach and rigor and treatment of the role of white supremacy in the U.S. history. Experts in history criticize Republican legislatures for supporting bills that make such an overt move to force teachers to gloss over parts of U.S. history. It becomes after a year in which many Americans have protested systematic racism within U.S. institutions. Education has not been immune from that conversation. Top Republicans, including Trump, have expressed support for nationalist propaganda as well as the preservation of racist monuments. All right, they're taking some liberties there. We're not going to debate on whether the monuments are racist. Been there, done that. We're not having that conversation tonight. We got bigger fish to fry. Not doing it. Do we want historical facts and details that are researched and published by experts taught, or do we want nationalism taught? Said T. Jameson Brewer, an educator and assistant professor at the University of North Georgia. That's a very scary sort of suggestion that schools would engage in ideological nationalism for political needs. The anti-1619 Project bills, which came after Republican U.S. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas filed in August, are brief and similar or identical language. The legislation out of Arkansas and Mississippi both call the project a racially divisive and revisionist account of history that threatens the integrity of the Union by denying the true principles on which it was founded. The Iowa bill expands it to its threat to school funding by suggesting any teachings with any similarly developed curriculum could face repercussions. The Missouri bill would prohibit teaching, affirming, or promoting claims, views, or opinions presented in the 1619 Project as an accurate account or representation of the founding and history in the United States of America. Some Republican governors have also proposed using state money to shape how history is taught. In November, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves proposed spending $3 million on Patriotic Education Fund that would allow schools and nonprofits to apply for money to provide teaching that educates the next generation in the incredible accomplishments of the American way. In a budget proposal, he wrote, "Across the country, young children have suffered from indoctrination and far-left socialist teachings that emphasize America's shortcomings over the exceptional achievements of this country." All right, that's the gist of what's going on here. I mean, there's a lot more on it. Here's my take. First of all, I think you can teach America's shortcomings and where we've come up short, and teach America's great accomplishments. I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. I don't think it's, oh, we're all bad or we're all good. It's like, no, we did some bad shit, but we've also done some really fucking amazing things. I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. I don't think anybody is served by ignoring our country's history. We've talked about in the past on this show when they wanted to take the names off Thomas Jefferson off of schools because he was a slave owner. We all argued, like, well, you could leave it on. Just teach about the full picture, Thomas Jefferson, the great things that he did and the bad things he did, and understanding what it was like, what the way of life was in that time, that it's not really fair to judge these people by the same lens where we are now, where we're more quote-unquote woke. I think it's a misleading argument. I feel like I learned some of this in school, but not nearly enough of this. Like, I feel like we were all cheated, and I don't know if it was done in a malicious way or just the way it was. But, I mean, we went to suburban schools in the Northeast, the three of us, middle-class families, and we had a whitewashed education. It's just the way it was. I think going forward, you understand people's struggles if you know their history, whatever the history is, whether it be the history of Ireland and talking about, you know, the struggles they've had with England and the famine, or the history of Jews, or the history of black people, or Italian. You can understand more of people today when you see where they came from. So if you say when we were a colony, they brought over slaves because they wanted to make more money to send back to Mother England. And then when we became free, we're like, well, shit, we're making money with these people. Why not keep it up? It's bad that we did it, but it's our fucking history. Own the history. The Constitution is in pursuit of a greater nation. It never says we're the end-all, be-all. That is truly the American way to achieve better. And many of our great accomplishments are us achieving better. Yes, we fucking killed the Nazis. Yes, we fucking defeated communism. Yes, we were the first ones to send a man on the moon. Yes, we were also a slave-owning country, but other countries stopped it. Yes, we have a real problem with racism in this country. You can be both things. So
that's what I'm finding. When I looked at the story on the way into the city yesterday, and I was looking in for more information. And pretty much on most of the train ride back home last night, I was looking on information on this, and I'm trying to find concrete things that have been come up to debate, because basically it's all the scholars. It's nothing but scholars and politicians arguing with each other. So one of the things that I found in this, because I wanted bullet points on what they're trying to do. A lot of people are saying, well, it's revisionist history. A lot of people are saying, well, it's accentuating the history that we have. And the one thing that I found interesting, the first thing that, the British brought the slaves over, and then when we went over, won over the British, we're like, hey, yeah, this isn't a bad idea, which should be in there. What the argument was is that, well, they're saying that, the country was for slavery, but there were a lot of people going into the Civil War, that a lot of northern states were, abolitionists and stuff like that. So it's all over the place. I'd like to see some bullet points because, yeah, I agree with you on that, where it should be accentuated with, the present history and accentuated with this policy. And I don't know why there's not a meeting of the minds on it. It just seems that there's nothing but scholars and politicians arguing with each other.
Because here's where you're coming. Because you're coming from, I want to give you an answer. Basically, it's an anti-intellectual argument, which has been unfortunately, which has been the one of the Republicans' things, which is why Donald Trump says, I love the uneducated. It's anti-intellectualism. It's assuming that if we know our country's history, we're going to turn against our country, where actually education is empowering.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. However, with that being said, the some intellectuals are arguing with each other over it.
Right, but what I'm saying is they're trying to keep us, the masses, the unwashed masses, uneducated. They feel, you talked about before, the elites. They feel they can have this information, but if left to our own devices, we're going to take this information and we're going to riot in the streets over 1619. Or 1691. I get it backwards. Anyway, we're going to... 1619. No! We might actually have some more understanding. We might go, yeah, you know what? We do come from a shitty fucking start when it comes to race. But we've made great progress. But we have much more to go. That's not a bad thing.
And once again, with the politics, yeah, they have their reasons. Going back to the intellectuals, there has been a lot of give and take on the size of the intellectuals, where some history professors have said against who was the woman that wrote this? I don't have the woman's name, but they've been arguing with her, and she conceded that yeah, going into the story, I wasn't explicit on this, that, and the other thing. I will concede to that. However, that being said, so the intellectuals are having a decent going, you know, back and forth trying to get the facts.
Basically,
common ground. Politicians aren't.
Basically, New York Times Magazine, they commissioned this work, the work was done, and their lesson plans were created. And teachers and schools can take from it or not take from it, but they want to make legislation to punish these schools. I mean, that's just terrible. I understand, education is usually a local thing, except when it comes to Common Core, apparently. It's usually a local thing. But I don't see how it's not like forcing it down the throat. I don't like Trump's thing where he's like, we just ignore our history. No, we did some bad things. America has done some bad things to a lot of people. We still do bad things. But we do a lot of good things. There's no country that gives more to charity, helps African nations or Haiti or black nations than America. We step up. So, yeah, we got this really awful history. But we're constantly trying to do better. You can teach. I think it's, for me, and I've talked about this before, I think it's more inspiring when you learn about our great people on our history, when you learn that they were flawed, that they had these things, but they still did great things. Because nobody's perfect. Flawed people make great history. That's what it is. We lose nothing by educating our populace.
When we start to understand each other's struggles, we have a better sense of the common humanity between all of us. And so when we understand the things that the African Americans went through, what Jews have gone through throughout the years, we understand the bigger picture. We can just say, oh, okay, I understand where you're coming from, and we see that we all have a burden to bear, and you're kinder and more cooperative with people when you understand them. And how are we supposed to not understand and love black history when we have George Washington Carver to thank for things like this?
It was like basically him and Eli Whitney. Those are like the black guys we learned about, right?
Right, and Harriet Tubman, yeah. And then we're done.
Right, I feel like we learned some stuff. Like, I don't want to say it was completely whitewashed, but like we talked about before, we never heard about the massacre in Tulsa. We never learned about Juneteenth. We didn't learn
it. Know about Black Wall Street? No idea.
But that was Tulsa, and we all went on to a secondary education of some level. So it's not like we're all high school graduates. It's not like you're. I know it doesn't sound that way when we talk, but it's not like we're three fucking rubes. I mean, we have some basic education, and it just wasn't taught to us. I mean, education.
You know what the interesting thing is? Like I said, I didn't get a chance to do a little extra research, but what I was trying to find was, you know. There's this whole blow up about this. I was trying to find examples of. I mean, there's a couple in the story, a couple I found, but more examples on why there's a lot of give and take. Unfortunately, you go in and look, and it's just nothing but pages of the intellectuals and the politicians going against each other without giving like bullet points. These are the several stories that you can even look at and go, yeah, I don't have a problem. Or, yeah, maybe I don't know why they're saying this. So, yeah, it's a very interesting story, and one you really need to sit with to really get to the bones of it. You know?
All I can come up with is really – the only way this makes sense is if you're a white supremacist. Really, you don't want to be a male white supremacist. Because they talk about the contributions of women in here too, which we don't really learn a lot. I mean, you learn about suffrage, you learn about Betsy Ross, but I mean, we didn't know these things. Now, because of this show and because of our lives, we acquire more knowledge. But a lot of people don't. For a lot of people, the only education they're ever going to get is in high school. That's pretty much it. A lot of people, then they get busy with their lives, and it's not against them or anything. They're making them bad people. They're against their lives, and they just don't have the opportunity to learn. So let's give these people a foundation so that when we send them out into society, they have an understanding of their fellow citizens, of our shared history.
The other thing that's really dangerous about this, and I mean, there's an element of this anyway, but talking about taking away the funding for schools if the curriculum is not to the political party's liking, that's some 1984 Brave New World shit
reeks of fascism. That's what that
it
reeks
does.
Of.
It absolutely does. We don't want our populace to be educated in a way that doesn't suit our political needs. Oh, no, that's supposed to happen here.
Let me give you a more contemporary, more extreme, but more contemporary, and then we'll move on. North Korea, they are taught that Kim Jong-un's grandfather, like, he was the end-all, be-all, and everybody from Kim Jong, like, from that lineage are godlike. That is the history they are taught. This is what happens when you mix politics with your history. You shouldn't do that. Teach history. Trust people to take the knowledge and do right things with it. People do stupid shit when they're ignorant. I'm more likely to hate you if I know nothing about you than if I know stuff about you. Go, okay, we have a shared humanity. I understand why you're upset. I don't have to agree with you, but I understand it. They don't want to embolden us. I feel like this is elitist and this is white supremacist and it's dangerous.
An educated populace will rise up against tyranny.
Yes.
But if we don't know any better, we'll just sit here like little lambs and, put up with any bullshit.
You know,
so that's why I took great issue with Trump saying, I like the stupid. Yeah, because you can mind control people who are not educated. They don't know history. They don't understand. So it's like, if you have the country's politicians now saying, if we don't like the way that you're educating, if we don't like the history that you're teaching, which should just be the fucking truth, if we don't like the history you're teaching, we're going to take away the money for you to be able to teach it? Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's a very dangerous thought.
So we all agree knowledge is power, and you can teach some of the bad things we did and teach the great things the country's done at the same time. No. And you're not any less patriotic. I don't love my country any less because I recognize that we've done some awful, awful things throughout our history.
Right.
It just makes me push to want us to do better so we don't repeat it. And you know what?
The whole thing about it is over the years, and it's been going on for years, where it's essentially they want to have a nationalistic curriculum, boosting the nation throughout the years. If they accentuate this with the 1619 Project, and also go to where you are, where we've done some bad stuff, but we've also done some great stuff, and build the curriculum on that, I don't have a problem with that. That's why I was trying to find out what issues that they had a problem with.
You got to trust the educators, and God knows we do School of Fools, and so often we show you should trust the educators. Put that aside. You got to trust the educators to take this information and integrate it with what they're already teaching. You create a timeline. We're going to teach about the American colonies. The colonies started in Jamestown. Ba 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 ba. It wasn't just white. We had to bring over the first slaves. Ba ba ba. You teach that. Now you could teach a timeline. Listen, you're not going to necessarily go into depth in the fourth grade about it, but by the time you get to junior year in high school, you've established a foundation, and now you can start having intellectual conversations with your students. Well, how responsible should we hold our founding fathers for it? Should they have known better? You can start because you built a foundation.
Well, and the thing about it is going back to the intellectuals. The intellectuals in from my readings on that are their problem is just trying to get it correct or historically correct and come to a common ground on this. The politicians just want their agenda followed. So, you know, they should just have it where, you know, we'll have the intellectuals hammer, you know, come to a common ground on this. And it should be, you know, the...
I'll give you an example of something that I was not taught and that I should have been taught. I did not know that that slaves built the White House. I didn't know that shit. I didn't know that until I was an adult. Probably until like Michelle Obama or Barack Obama or something brought it up. We should have known that. It doesn't make the White House any less great. But we should know who built the White House. It's just something.
Why do I know that slaves built the pyramids, but they don't know that they built the White House?
Yeah.
Where I live.
And the worst part about it, they were building something called the White House.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Yes, Jeff.
It's the White House.
How to go there.
We'll move on that one. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate that. All right. One day after, basically, here's what happened. I don't have to read the fucking story. So nobody was at the NBA games because they weren't having, because of COVID, they weren't having guests, fans. So Mark Cuban, because of the whole controversial thing and how some people feel about the national anthem, was not playing the national anthem. Then they just recently started having people come in to see the games, and Mark Cuban said, I'm still not going to play the national anthem because we have people on our team, in our community, that are upset by it, so we're not going to play it. Then the NBA came in and said, no, we have a policy. It's one thing when you weren't playing the national anthem when nobody was there, but now that you're opening up to fans, you're going to play the national anthem. So that's the gist of it. It was Joe's blog, so I'll let him kick off the festivities. Joe?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting a text. What was the question? Sorry.
I said this was the subject of your blog. I can handle it myself, but I said it was the subject of your blog this week. I would let you kick off the festivities.
Oh, okay. my blog. Sorry about that. long day.
Joe had his feet up and was playing puzzles on his phone while we were doing the show, like no, some other people were doing.
Hi.
Yeah, it's time for the show.
Basically, the overview of my blog is I do agree with the NBA reinstating the national anthem. Basically, for the almost 2 minutes, a minute and 59 seconds that song plays, that is a celebration. We just discussed it. We've had a very bad history in this country, but we've done a lot of great things. That song celebrates the fact that you can go out and try to make things better. No, we're not a perfect country, but we are given the opportunity in this country to go out and make things better. And people have fought and died for that. And to sit there and kneel during that is a desecration against that right.
But Joe, let me intervene. Joe, hold on. But not playing the anthem would prevent the kneeling. You wouldn't have the kneeling if it wasn't playing.
But it is a show of patriotism, and it's a tradition, and it should not be broken. And it is a chance there to show your honor, where in your country that you live free and you have the opportunity to change things around. And meanwhile, you have these guys that are overpaid millionaires living their dream, having the gall to sit there and kneel where the country has afforded them opportunities that they never would have had anywhere else. So, if you're going to have somebody kneel, have the woman that is trying to make it on her own, that lives in a community that she's scared of gang violence, that she's raising the children with no father, the crime in the neighborhood is out of hand. Have her kneel and let's work to try to make her life better and concentrate on that. Where we have the freedom to do that. And I think Mark Cuban is wrong, and I think the NBA is right.
All right, let me. I have a two-pronged thing here. If the league policy is play the national anthem, every team has to play the national anthem. That would be because we're all in the league together. If that's the rule, that's the rule. That being said, as the person who's gone to the most sporting events here, out of anybody of any sport, let me tell you something. And I've said it before. I get what Joe's saying about the patriotism. And there have been times, like right after 9/11 and when we went into Afghanistan, where everybody's like, where the national anthem really means something and everybody's paying attention to it. There are certainly those moments. The vast majority of the time, if you go to these sporting events, most people stand, but people are checking their phone. They're taking a piss. It's not special. It doesn't mean anything. It's just rote. And now it does mean something to some people.
It means something to the people that are standing with their hands.
No. A lot of people are just standing because you don't want to get yelled at. They're standing because it's what you do. It does mean something to some people. I'm not going to say that. But it's like anything. If you keep on doing it, it becomes a habit. It's like the same thing as a comic would say, let's hear it for the troops. After a while, you just roll your eyes because it's not special. No other country does it like this. Let me finish.
Let's hear it for the troops. The only people that are rolling their eyes are the two other comics that are sitting there. The rest of the people are sitting there giving an applause. It's a show of patriotism.
It's not. You know what it is? That's not a show of patriotism. It's the same thing as thank you for your service. Because after a while, you're just fucking doing it to make yourself feel better. What have you actually, and I've talked about this before, what have you actually done for the troops? What have you actually done for the country? Is standing up the most you can do? No. There is always something more you could do. We do this.
But standing up is the least you could do.
Fine, but we do this to soothe ourselves. You know, it's the same thing like with COVID-19, and I've said it before. We're all in this together. No, we're not. No, we're not all in this together. Some people are sacrificing. Some people are doing really hard things and dangerous things. Some people are making sacrifices. A lot of us ain't doing shit. It's the same thing with the troops. We just like to pacify ourselves. And no other country does it during domestic sporting events. Now, if we're having an international sporting event, you know, like they call them friendlies in soccer or football. So like say we're playing Peru or something like that. Play both national anthems. I'm for that. What I'd rather see, because Joe always talks about the problems that we have in the cities and the camaraderie. I'd rather see if it's the Yankees playing the Tigers, depending where it is, you know, play New York, New York before the game. Play Detroit Rock City. Play something for your city. Play the team's fight song. You know, that at least makes some sense. We're taking pride in our town and everything, and it has to do with what we're doing. I stand for the national anthem. I'm not one to kneel, but I'm just telling you what happens at these sporting events. No, people don't give a shit. You don't play them during concerts. You don't play the national anthem during concerts. You don't play it during movies. You don't play it during comedy shows. You don't play it during the day program. Why is it just sporting events? It just seems like something that was done once, and now we do it just because. And I'm saying that is the absolute wrong reason to have patriotism, just because. Patriotism is something you feel. It's something you're passionate about. It's not something like, all right, here we have to stand for another. Oh, I can't believe they butchered it. They forgot the word. I mean, really?
I don't have a problem with a national anthem being played before sporting events. I mean, I don't know why it started. I don't feel like it has to be taken away because it's become rote for people. People stand up at the beginning of the school day, or at least they used to, and say the national anthem. I think that it's a good thing. It reminds us of the pride that we have in our country. And listen, I'm really liberal, and I'm not like one,
not,
you know, that...
But it's not a conservative liberal thing.
Flags on my car.
It's not a conservative liberal thing. It's not conservative liberal. Why is it just for the people that can afford tickets to a game? If we're going to do the national anthem, if the national anthem is so important, and I'm not saying whether it is or it isn't, why don't we do it before our workday? Why isn't it done before comedy shows? If we're going to do it for one form of entertainment, which is what sports is, because there's nothing inherently patriotic about the Yankees playing the Anaheim Angels. There's nothing inherently patriotic. There's nothing more patriotic about that than seeing Guns N' Roses in concert.
It's just what's a tradition. And sometimes if you're doing a gig at an American Legion Hall or something like that. There have been times that they've had the National.
That's an American Legion Hall, Joe. That makes sense there because that's celebrating veterans. That makes sense there. What I'm saying is, and like, nobody's going to more sporting events of the sports than I am. People are taking a piss. They're staring at their phone. They're talking to people. For some people, it means something. But it has lost so much value. So we diminish it. We diminish the national anthem when you're sitting there not paying attention. So what's the point? And if it's
that's on those people, though.
But that's the majority of the people. And if it's so important, why don't you have to do it before the day program? How come when Joe gets in, the first thing they do is the national anthem? Why not? No,
that
seriously.
Doesn't make sense, though.
Why?
It really doesn't make sense.
It makes perfect
because
sense.
Because people start work at different parts.
An American pastime. That's why.
Hockey's not America's pastime. Hockey's Canada's pastime. We just play it in America.
Yeah.
I believe
if the Canadians or the Canucks are in town, I believe he play both anthems.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
it's your tradition.
So nobody's really giving me an answer. They're just telling what you're just doing is you're telling me because we always do it. And I'm challenging you to think more behind it. It's easy to go, it's a tradition. I'm asking why. And if it is so important, why aren't we doing it more? I'm challenging you to think about the logic in it. Because I'm not going to say it's not important. Maybe it is important. Then we should be doing it a lot more than just a few thousand people that can afford to pay $100 a ticket to watch a sporting event. We should be doing it during comedy shows, during it before everybody starts work. Other countries do that shit. You know, they do Japan, they do calisthenics together. Let's just fucking do it. If we're all such fucking patriots, why don't we do it at 9 o'clock when the workday starts?
Well, first of all,
I understand, but you know what? If it's
in a place and it's an American tradition and it's a tradition celebrating the country and it's a tradition in those arenas, literally in those arenas. For the simple fact that it's a tradition in those arenas and it for the people, it means something there. The people that take a piss. So we're dictating what's going to be done with people that want to take a pit, that don't have respect for it. But how about the people that do have respect?
Roseanne was hired to sing the national anthem. How would that possibly go well? I mean,
that was a one-off bad decision. Yeah, she did.
But what I'm saying is, you guys are mythologizing this, and I'm challenging you to think beyond tradition.
I'm saying why would it be a bad thing to do it at sports?
Then do it on other things.
Because of the ticket price?
Sports is just entertainment. Do it before every... Listen, I don't have a problem if it starts before every comedy show. I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't say don't do it.
It's also thinking of tradition, but going beyond tradition, you're thinking about where it's established. And where it's established.
And it got established some point.
Whether it carries over to other areas, that remains to be seen. But right now, it has been established in those venues, and it should continue. Regardless of how you feel that why isn't it going into other areas, for the simple fact, well, that remains to be seen. But for now, for where we are right now, and where it's been tradition, it should be played.
If it's so important during sporting events, why don't any of the networks carry it?
Because the media does the media is interested in the dollar. Okay.
No, not the media. Not the media. Everybody who signed these huge sports contracts has nothing to do with the media. Or whether it be ESPN or MSG or YES or SNY or NESN or CBS, because of money. But if it's so important, if it's so patriotic, why don't they carry the national anthem?
They should carry it.
All right.
They should
carry it.
Nobody's clamoring for it.
No, but nobody's clamoring for them to take it away either.
Right,
when you're present.
But all you guys can give me is tradition. You can't give me. You can't say that we shouldn't add it to more things. It's just because we always do it.
I don't need to tell you that because basically it's not based on that. If there is a need to have it in other areas, then people will deem it. What I am telling you is this. I don't need to tell you where it should be in other places. What I need to tell you is where it has been and where it should stay.
But you can't tell me it should stay. You can tell me you want it to stay. You can't make the argument it should stay. Your argument is based on emotion, which is fine. There's no necessity for it.
It is.
No, but
gathering, of a gathering of patriotism, okay? And it's been a tradition, and that's where it should stay.
But I'm telling you, it's not patriotic. I'm telling you, people are not standing at attention. I'm telling you, I've been to more sporting events than anybody here.
No. You're telling me that some people aren't. But for the most part, people are.
I wouldn't even say for the most part.
Nobody is standing and everybody's looking at their phone. You said some people aren't.
Well,
you're not.
I would tell you the vast majority of people are looking at their phone, taking a piss, trying to order a beer, or talking to their friend, or taking a picture. That's the vast majority of people. There are some people, and I'm one of them, who stands there. I take my hat off. I got my hat on my chest. I listen. I'm not talking. But I'm telling you, it's not the majority of people. I've been to more sporting events than any of you guys. I'm telling you. So, yes, if we're going to do it, it should be respected. Nobody's enforcing the shit.
So if people are inconsiderate, we're not going to do it.
What I'm telling you is, people
are talking during your act, okay? And people, I go up there and some people talk during my act. So you're going to quit comedy. You're not going to do it anymore because it's inconsiderate action. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's completely different. My act has nothing to do with your argument is patriotism.
People are talking, and you're not going to do something anymore because people are talking. Some people are talking, and they're not paying attention. So, you know, maybe we'll just get rid of comedy.
Your argument,
it's
though,
the same thing.
Your argument is patriotism, and I'm telling you.
My argument is, hey, from what you're telling me and what you have said in the past 5 minutes, is taking something away because people aren't paying.
I'm not saying take it away. I didn't say do away with it. I didn't say do away with it. But what I'm saying is, it's not really patriotic if nobody's paying attention. And if it is so patriotic, if it is so important, add it to other aspects of our life. I'm not saying take it away necessarily. I'm saying think about the issue.
Then we should work to add it to other aspects of life. Maybe you should make a presentation about that and make a suggestion about that or make a law about that. But for right now, in the arena that it's played, and it's been a tradition, an American tradition, the song should be played. And the NBA is absolutely right. And like I said, well, people aren't paying attention. People are doing, well, people do it at a comedy show. Maybe you should stop doing comedy.
Let me tell you something.
You can't take something away because people are being inconsiderate about it.
The NBA...
You have to play to the people that are taking advantage of it. And you, as one of them, put your hand over your hat down, your hat over your arm, you know, and stay with that tradition.
You can't. But here's the thing. You can't force patriotism. You can't do it.
But they're not forcing it. They're simply playing the song. The damn song is a minute and 59 seconds. Okay, and you have enough people that sit there and put their hand over their heart and take their hat off.
It also has a history with slavery.
A minute and 59 seconds, this fucking song.
It also has a history with slavery.
But a minute and 59 seconds.
It also...
A minute and 59 seconds of your life. And when that song plays, you stand and put your hat over your heart. For the people that don't, they're being inconsiderate. But inconsiderate people have to dictate whether something is going to be played or not. Something that's been traditions for years.
So your argument is tradition. Fine. Okay. Your argument is tradition, but it's not important enough to do in other places. Fine. Okay. That's fine.
No.
That's your argument.
If you want, we'll put legislation and have it done another.
You can't force. No, Joe. No, Joe. You don't need legislation. You just start a tradition. You just start traditions. So all the comedy clubs start the tradition of doing the national anthem before comedy shows, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't go, oh, why are they doing this crap? I wouldn't have a problem with it. You don't have to legislate. If it's so important, you start the tradition. That's all. I think it would be nice.
To start the tradition.
Listen,
actually, man. I think more patriotic is the Pledge of Allegiance. And it would be nice to start the work day with the Pledge of Allegiance or meetings.
Really?
I used to belong to a group that we did do the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of our meeting.
Really, if you want, really, the best song to do is America the Beautiful, because that has no ties to slavery. It celebrates the country. That's really the best song to do it. It's a better song anyway. The National Anthem
it is.
The National Anthem is not a great song. Oh, Canada's a much better song. Let's be, just as far as songs go. It's, you know, but whatever. Listen, like I said, I don't care one way or the other.
Where was the National Anthem racist? I didn't know.
No, there's a history.
That wood, boy.
There's a history. There's something in it with, like, ties to slavery. I don't remember about I read it a while ago, which is why they started doing something, the Black National Anthem, which I don't know. I don't know about that. But there was something. There was, yeah, you could look it up. There's ties to slavery.
Instead of, oh, say, can you see? It's like, hey, man, look at here.
Okay.
Oh,
on that noob.
What did he do? He's bad. He's bad. He's naughty, naughty. Bad. He's naughty, naughty.
Yes.
You, no, you would just get banned for a bad joke. That's why you would get banned. I'm not taking any high moral ground. I'm just on the grounds of comedy. That's why you would be banned.
All
right.
We all have to understand.
Well, we should. Nazi news.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Oh, actress and MMA champion Gina Carano is coming under fire for her controversial Twitter presence. There's many parts of this story, so I got to go through it. 30-year-old who is best known for her role as Cara Dune in The Mandalorian. I guess you guys never watched The Mandalorian, I'm guessing. Has been called transphobic by her critics for a recent social media stunt that some argue mocked trans people and their allies. Outrage surrounding Carano's social media presence escalated in August when Twitter users called the actress racist for sharing a photo from a Nazi rally in 1936. Why? Carano clarified that she shared a photo to draw attention to a heartbreaking and powerful story of a man who changed his ways for the woman he loved, as the photo showed a former Nazi who eventually married a Jewish woman, refusing to give the Sieg Heil salute, but some commenters felt that simply sharing an image also featuring hundreds of Nazis sent the wrong message. I mean, it was looking for Where's Waldo. I mean, you did have to look for the guy, but if you have it circled, you see the guy. You see he's not Sieg Heiling. You literally could have picked a better picture to show whatever you wanted to show that didn't have friggin' Nazis on it. Well, I don't know if you can if you're trying to illustrate Nazis, but anyway. Carano ultimately denounced the users, criticizing her choice to share the photo, calling them trolls. One commentator, however, suggested that the critics were simply trying to educate, to which Carano responded that her critics were misinformed cowards and bullies rather than educators. On August 5th, however, hashtag Gina Carano is over party began trending on Twitter as enraged Twitter users continued to suggest that Carano was racist and recalled that she had shared anti-mask memes amid the COVID-19 pandemic and retweeted content from alt-right figureheads like activist and conspiracy theorist Jack Posobiec. Not familiar with his work. Carano came under fire in early September for urging churches and businesses to reopen amid the pandemic, arguing that the coronavirus does not know the difference between a protest or praise and worship. A June research paper published by the National Bureau of Economic Research found that protests were not yet associated with significant increases in COVID-19 infections, according to Forbes. There have been hundreds of cases linked to religious facilities, though, as was documented in July New York Times article. Real quick, because one's outside and one's inside. Anyway, commenters suggested that her position appeared to be anti-protest, and several pointed out that the Black Lives Matter protests, unlike worship services, took place outside and involved largely mass participants. That's true. Others suggested that Carano used her platform to encourage safety measures. People are also literally dying because of COVID-19, so you should be promoting people to follow the safety protocols, wear actual masks, and practice social distancing to help this pass faster, one commenter wrote. Then we could get back to normal life. In lieu of adding she, he, hers next to her name, an increasingly common practice among LGBTQ+, by the way, that's just getting longer and longer, community, and their allies, I remember it was just gay, but it's changed, and their allies, Carano, wrote beep, bop, boop next to her name. The actress's critics immediately denounced the move, calling the sentiment transphobic. She says it was pro-robot. No. In a tweet Saturday, Carano said she had spoken. I don't know what this daffy bitch is doing. In a tweet Saturday, Carano said she had spoken to her co-star Pedro Pascal to understand why social media users chose to share their preferred pronouns, and while she wouldn't be sharing her own, she respected other Twitter users' right to do so. I stand against bullying, especially the most vulnerable in freedom to choose, she wrote. In response, Carano's critics demanded that she show her support for trans individuals by apologizing and sharing accurate pronouns. Nothing better than a Twitter demand. The actress resisted, describing the ongoing criticism of her online behavior as months of harassing in either way. You know you could just shut the fuck up. That is an option. I decided to put three very controversial words in my bio. Beep, bup, boop, she tweeted. I'm not against trans lives at all. They need to find less abusive representation. Later that evening, Carano clarified that her decision to place beep, bop, boop in her bio in lieu of pronouns had zero to do with mocking trans people. Rather, she said it was her attempt at exposing the bullying mentality of the mob that has taken over the voices of many in genuine cause. I don't buy that for a fucking instance. Boop you for misunderstanding, she quipped. The words no longer appear in her bio. What the beep? Critics are now calling on Disney to stand by its LGBTQ plus audience, fire the Mandalorian actress for her statements. Fire Gina Carano, please and thank you, one Twitter user wrote, accompanying a retweet of new images from the show. Gina Carano is out here trashing BLM, telling people not to wear masks, spreading theories that COVID is fake, blocking fans for disagreeing with her. Well, she's allowed to block it, stupid. And now publicly liking tweets that make fun of people for putting pronouns in their bio, one wrote. Disney, she is not it. Representatives for Gina Carano did not immediately respond to Insider's request. This is just, we're just getting fucking started with this fucking broad over here. Yeah, I said a fucking broad. That's my pronoun for her. Gina Carano has been dropped from The Mandalorian after the actress posted comments Lucasfilm said it considers abhorrent on social media. This is what just happened. Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm, and there are no plans for her to be in the future. Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their culture and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable, said a Lucasfilm spokesperson in a statement to The Wrap. Carano came under fire Wednesday as the hashtag #FireGinaCarano trended over an Instagram post comparing Republicans today to being Jewish during Nazi Germany. Always a good move. Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that, to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews. The government first made their own neighbors hate them, then simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Oh, you daffy bitch, you, let me explain. Anyway. Oh my God. Another Instagram story showed someone with several masks covering their entire face with the caption, "Meanwhile, in California, she was also spreading election fraud and conspiracy theories." In December again, while people still assumed that announcement of that Cara Dune show was inevitable, she waded back into with a tweet that used the topic of COVID-19 vaccine to suggest mail-in voting cannot be trusted, which predictably sparked an all-new backlash. At last year's Disney's investors call, the company announced a Mandalorian spin-off show called Star Wars Rangers of the New Republic, which could have potentially starred Carano. She was dropped by her agency. Mandalorian star Pedro Pascal is having a big week, but some people pointed out that he had a tweet following social media posts which the 38-year-old actress compared being a... Oh, this was Carano's. Pedro Pascal, who's the star of The Mandalorian, was not fired for his post on Instagram comparing Trump supporters to Nazis and Confederates. That was deleted. Again, he's the fucking star. It was one tweet. Not good. One star. Anyway, so people forgave Pedro. And then she got dropped, and then she got picked up by pundit Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire. She's going to develop and produce her own film at the conservative news outlet, which announced it is branching out into entertainment content. This is just the beginning. Welcome to the rebellion, the actress wrote Friday on social media. She tweeted Shapiro's promoting the new venture. I cried out, my prayer was answered, praising the Daily Wire for making her filmmaking dream come true. I'm sending out a direct message of hope to everyone living in fear of cancellation by the totalitarian mob. Oh, my stars. I have only just begun using my voice. You didn't shut the fuck up, which is now freer than ever before. I hope it inspires others to do the same. They can't cancel us if we don't let them. We're looking forward to taking on the authoritarian Hollywood monolith, Daily Wire co-founder Shapiro said Friday in a statement to the Times. It's no secret that Hollywood is a one-party town and that dissent is not just discouraged but punished. We're building the alternative, and we'd just like to thank Disney and Lucasfilm for aiding us in our quest to do so. All right. So I'm the only one who actually watches the fucking Mandalorian on this show. So
yeah.
She was a part of the show. She wasn't in every episode. Her acting was not great. It wasn't bad. Her character was fine. I mean, I never watched The Mandalorian and said, I need to hear more Gina Carano. I never said that. They were going to do a spinoff possibly with her. The Mandalorian was already taking a different turn for season 3, where she might not have been part of it. So there was no guarantee. So she just wasn't signed. Here's the thing. I think what happened with Disney is they just said enough. They were patient with her. You know, when people on Twitter were calling to fire her, they didn't fire her. They didn't say anything. They just kept her fucking employed. And then it just kept on building and building and building. And she's not that fucking important. And they just said enough. Do I think she was bullied by some on Twitter? Absolutely. But have you been on Twitter? Are you expecting people to be better on Twitter? Don't play the fucking victim when you're putting out provocative shit that you know is going to rile people up and then go, oh my God, people are outraged. Yes, that's what happens when you put up provocative shit, you dopey bitch, you. And yes, there is a difference between hating somebody for their political affiliation, not that it's right, then their religion and their heritage. One is who you are. The other is a belief that, you know what, I'm not going to be a Republican this week. I'm going to be a Democrat. Also, on the heels of the fucking insurrection, and in which we just saw a bunch of right-wingers beating the shit out of everybody, maybe the timing isn't fucking right to plead victim here. So I don't blame Disney for this. She wasn't canceled. She got picked up. They just said, listen, we don't want to do business with you anymore. You're not worth it. You're a fucking headache. And the right winger picked her up. And honestly, if this is your big fucking signing, you're going to fail. She's not that big of a fucking star. Nobody gives a shit. And let's be honest about it. Kirk Cameron puts out right wing shit, and nobody cares about it. Because let's be honest, the only one who's ever put out anything remotely right wing that's good is Tim Allen. He's the only one. And I didn't even realize Home Improvement was right wing. I had no fucking idea. But that's how you know it's good entertainment, when you don't fucking know and you go look back, oh, I can see what they were doing there. And then he had his other show, which I guess people like. Yeah, because for the most part, the right wingers don't have great stars. Tim Allen's a fucking talent. Tim Allen deserves his success. I hope he continues to make his movies and his TV shows. He entertains millions of people. Gina Carano's not that big of a fucking deal. This isn't that big of a deal. She wasn't canceled. They just said, nah, we don't need you anymore. That's all. Okay.
All right. See, it was basically you got to pick and choose your battles. I mean, you know, she had the right to say what she say. She had the right to say what she say.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. No.
Say what she say.
Nothing wrong with that, Joe. We
talk what you talk, Joe.
Listen, I mean,
aspirations of talk radio are really on the fucking fritz here. She has the right to say what she said.
she
got to pick and choose your battles. You know, you're working for Disney, you know, and you got to realize, look, this is who I'm with, and I got to have. Am I going to stick with my convictions, or am I going to lay low? You know.
But I think Disney was very patient with her. I mean, because for months there was calls to fire her, and they didn't do it. I think Disney just got to the point and go, enough. We got what we need out of you. We don't need you anymore. Our fucking star spoke to you, and you still don't shut the fuck up. Just shut up. And now your move is election fraud, and how comparing being a Republican in America today is the same as being Jews in Nazi Germany. Listen, I can understand what she was going for with her first fucking Nazi tweet. I can see the logic there. I don't know if I believe it, but I can see the logic there. I don't think she needs to be fired over that. I think she was definitely trying to insult trans people with her beep, bop, boop. I don't even know why she would do that. I don't think
she was trying to insult them with that. I think she was saying that it's not a big deal, you know.
But that's the point.
Just being a person.
But Joe, but that's the thing. To them, it is a big deal. To them, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us are heterosexual. We've never had to struggle with our sexuality. To them, it's a big deal. So if it's not a big deal to you, why wade into that? Why not shut the fuck up? I mean, what are you?
Because you gotta pick and choose your battles. I mean,
yes.
Why would you? But if you,
why would you
feel that you have a need to say that? You also have to realize that it could affect your job. Listen to me. I purposely do not wear a Platsky shirt. I turn my hat inside out because it's one of our vendors on the back. For what we do, anything that I say, I don't want it being reflective of a company that I represent.
But what you do, Joe, what you do is you constantly mention their name. So I don't know if you're accomplishing all that you hope to accomplish.
That's true.
But I don't. I mention it in passing. But I don't. I don't. I'm not wearing the brand. I'm not wearing the brand. Just if I'm saying something that I believe in, and I'm saying that, that you know that there's no. Oh, I saw you wearing a so and so thing on that. You know. So you got to realize I want to say what I say, but sometimes you got to understand where your bread's buttered. So and it's not a perfect world. It's not a fair world. So for the simple fact that she doesn't have the, you know, if she's going to live by the sword, she's got to die by the sword. You know.
If you're going to, like we were saying before, it's like she decided to wade into the trans issue or, you know, the LGBTQ land issue by bringing it up. She didn't need to bring it up. And it's like, what are you going to do next? You're going to say, shalom, balom. I mean, you're not a Jew. Shut up. Why are you saying such incendiary things and then saying, oh, look, they picked on me? You can't have it both ways. She's kind of being a jerk and testing the waters. How much of a jerk can I be? And then now when there's backlash, oh, see what they did to me? Look, you know what? We've said many times on this show, you have the First Amendment right to say whatever you want, but you have consequences to what you say. And she was put up with for a long time. Yeah, I don't say she doesn't have the right to say what she says, but don't expect that you won't have issues.
Right. So I don't think that she was a jerk. I think that
I do.
I don't think she was a jerk, but I think that she had her convictions and didn't know the consequences. I don't think it's
I don't think it's
to say stupid shit.
I think she's
that was her conviction, and she, you know, she's finding out what the consequences are.
I think she felt like he poking the bear, and she wasn't going to learn until the fucking bear took her head off. She'd been warned. They were tolerant. I mean, how many Nazi posts do you have to make? After the first Nazi post riles people up, why do you got to make a second Nazi post? For what?
She's poking, like you said, she's poking the bear. You don't need to wade into that, girlfriend. And the thing is, that's like, you have the right to say stupid shit, and then you have to sit there like a big girl and take the pounding when stuff comes back to get you.
And mark my words.
That's what happens.
Mark my words. This right wing media company, entertainment, it's not going anywhere. I'm not being a dick about it, but I'm going to be a dick. Let's be honest. It's usually liberals who are better at the arts. I gave you Tim Allen on the side. He's a good actor. He's a good comedian. Whatever you think about his politics, Tim Allen's the exception. I mean, so there's not that many outstanding. You want to say James Woods is a great actor? Is he? Okay, fine. But nobody's bending over backwards to make a movie starring James Woods. I mean, just traditionally, it's just the way it is. So nobody gives a shit about Gina Carano. She's not that big of a fucking deal. She's not that big.
I never heard of her before.
No, most people haven't. She's fine. I'm not going to say she sucks. She's fine. They could have gotten anybody. You know who else is like a big right-wing guy you never heard of? Because he's not that special. Kevin Sorbo. He was Hercules. Nobody gives a shit. Why? Because of his politics? No, because he's just not that special. When you're fucking Tom Hanks, who's a fucking multi-Academy Award-winning actor, we're going to put up with some shit if you do some shit. If you're not, shut the fuck up. That's just the way it goes. You know, Joe can wear Platsky if Joe's the best one at his job and says outrageous shit, and he's the best at his job. The office is going to go, okay, that's fine. But once Joe's production starts slipping, get the fuck out. We're not going to put up with you. It's just, it's not cancel culture. It's business, motherfucker. That's all it is. You better be a lot better than somebody who's in 4 episodes a fucking season to cause this type of headache for the fucking mouse.
You were saying that she went to this agency. Really? What's so special about this agency? Like, she left a stellar career where she was.
It seemed like she was going to be in another spin-off series in a very popular platform. Disney Plus is doing gangbusters, and if she was going to be part of this new spin-off show, she would have had a nice career. There's nothing wrong with being part of the Disney Star Wars family. Bill Burr, comedian, is part of the Mandalorian family. He's been in a few episodes. You don't want to turn down Star Wars, George Lucas, Walt Disney World money. Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
Just shut up. Take your paycheck
got to choose your battles.
Yes!
They'll let you have the freedom of speech to say that. All right.
She's like, my prayers are answered. I can direct. Nobody gives a shit. You know where your movie's going? Straight to the last remaining blockbuster. That's where this shit's going. Nobody's waiting on the fucking Gina Carano project. Nobody gives a shit. You're not Dave Chappelle. You're not that special. You're not Kim Basinger. You're not. Name any fucking actor. You're not Roseanne.
I think she's in a position right now, if we reached out to her and said, hey, could you do a table read with us? She'd probably go, what time?
Sure. I mean, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, ABC, who's owned by Disney, got rid of Roseanne on her own fucking show. On her own show. They got, what makes you think it's going to be different for you as a semi-important character on a platform? Not even over broadcast television. What makes you think it's going to be, they got rid of Roseanne. They had enough of her shit.
You would think. Her agent, and maybe the day, your agent would have told her that and used that same example.
I'm sure the agency did. The agency dropped her. The star of the show explained trans stuff to you, which is why she came out the way she did eventually. I can only assume that she's like a lot of performers and she's self-destructive or she's a moron. Those are the only two things I can fucking assume, because we know what's going to happen if you keep on doing this. After you dodge the first bullet, after the fire Gina Carano hashtag went around and Disney didn't fire you, go, thank my lucky stars. You know what? Maybe it's time to delete the Twitter. Maybe I don't need to tweet every fucking stupid thought I have.
What?
She probably felt that, you know, I have my right to freedom of speech.
She does.
And I'm going to say what I want. All right, it's going to come at a cost.
Now she's going to say it to a lot less people. Good for her. Good move, Gina. Stupid. I don't feel bad for it. And listen, I'm happy she got picked up. I don't want to see this woman put out of work for her stupid tweets and stupidity. I'm happy she got picked up. But let's be honest, a right-wing startup platform is not the same as fucking Walt Disney, Disney World, and fucking Star Wars. It's just not the same thing. All right.
Now, wait till she does her first scene with Hannity. She'll be in cloud nine.
I hope Kirk Cameron becomes her love interest. The guy that fucking ended his career.
He can't. He's too Christian. I don't touch other women.
It'll be a platonic love. I'll talk about a guy who nobody wants to hear from anymore. All right.
No.
You know what these guys should do? Guys like Kirk Cameron. Do what Joel Osteen does. Pay for fucking time where you're on all the time. And you got a big smile and everybody fucking likes you. Everybody likes Joel Osteen. Go that route. Don't be preaching making like fourth-rate fucking movies that the Hallmark Network goes, ew, P.U., not good enough. Ugh. Have you seen the trash they put up?
I mean, he's got his followers, but you look at him and you could call him a mile away. He's such a fucking snake in the grass, that guy.
Yeah. He could have been Michael J. Fox without the Parkinson's. He could have gone that way. Beloved. People still love Michael J. Fox. By the way, on Antenna TV, then we'll take a break. We won't do comics in the news. On Antenna TV at 5 a.m. is Family Ties. And I'm often up. I will tell you, I've gone back and watched some of these Family Ties. Some damn good writing. That show was underrated.
Oh, yeah.
It still makes me laugh. I mean, the sarcasm. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to say it's on the level of Golden Girls, but the humor at times is very sarcastic, very funny.
Oh, there was one scene that who was his friend?
Skippy, Mark Price.
Yeah, Skippy. And Skippy was watching, there was this girl that he liked. And you were going somewhere, and this girl was with another guy. And I'm like, you're having a great time. It's like, it's a dream come true. And the way he said it, I just laughed my balls off, because we've all been in that spot, you know, where it's like,
yes!
It's a dream come true. It was that, I still think back to that scene and laugh my ass off.
Listen, I recommend to anybody, Family Ties is on. Give it a watch. I mean, a lot of us were kids when it was on. I watched it like the first time, but I don't really remember it, and it wasn't must-see TV for me. Give it a watch. There's some really good writing.
You know what was a great episode when the dad on the show lost his father?
Oh, that was just on.
About having flashback moments and stuff like that. That was a damn good show.
I'll tell you what, they did heartwarming and funny really well. It wasn't like,
yes,
it wasn't preachy heartwarming shit. It was just really, and the give and take between Justine Bateman and Michael J. Fox, I mean, just so boom, dead on, just nailing the fucking lines. Again, it's not up to the Golden Girls, but if you go back and look at that, you go, oh my God, the writing was so on point and the delivery was amazing. It's a notch below Golden Girls.
Michael J. Fox, he got the movie deal to do Back in Time and stuff like that. He's filming Family Ties during the day, and then because he had to cut a deal with, because he had to do this movie, and then he's filming that during the day, and then he's going on set at night to do the movie.
Maybe
getting 3 hours of sleep if that a night.
I will put it one level below Seinfeld and Golden Girls, which is still a high level. I'll put So you got like the All in the Family, Seinfeld, and Golden Girls, which is like as good as you can get for sitcoms.
Right. Yeah.
And
the
then
the writing on the Golden Girls,
right,
was amazing.
Right.
So great.
Right. I've always said that. I used to always hear the No. The writing on that show was amazing.
So underneath those three, just the three I thought of, which I think most people are great, were great sitcoms, I will put Family Ties. You go, oh, Family Ties, really? Go back and watch it. There's a lot of funny stuff in there, a lot of good acting.
Great show.
All right. So that's what I do at 5 in the morning when I can't sleep. All right. So we're
going to... I'm usually a Mannix Cannon person on MeTV.
All right, so we're not going to do comics in the news this week. We'll do it next week because that'll hold. The govs, Governor Cuomo, boy, were we wrong about him. You know what I always say? In the middle of an emergency, I've often said this, set aside some quiet time for yourself and write a book about how well you did. Always do that. But that's...
Well, anyway, I forgot who I was listening to today. And then Cuomo said that, he goes, what? You know, I've been very, very busy with everything. He goes, yeah, busy. You got time to write a book.
So we'll do comics in the news next week. On the break, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Scamming Scammers. We have Stefan Young with Legend and Johnny Talker featuring Caro with the song Option. And you can learn more about them at KHB. Oh, fuck. I got to get... Well, that's not the website. Oh, fuck. let me do this.
Oh, fuck. Sounds like an Irish porn.
How'd you get that URL? That's great.
I'd love that.
OFUN.com.
Oh, I completely. I apologize.
Ah, you see the sexiest killers on OFUN.com.
Oh, fuck.
Just the O cum.
Bad job. Bad job by me.
Pick Mr. Lally out. Over the rainbow on OFUN.com.
You're doing it in an Irish accent. If you're going to have an Irish website, it's going to be JesusJosephAndMary.com.
Are you guys done having fun at my expense? Oh, and then we're going to try this again. On the break, we got new music from Stefan Jung with Legend, or Young, and Johnny Talker featuring Caro with Option. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Check it out. Short break again. And we'll be right back with Scamming Scam.